Welcome back to Embrace the Grain Photography Podcast. I'm Sherry Christensen, and I hope you'll enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome back to Embrace the Grain. This is episode 34, and tonight I have a very special guest with me. And the first time I have had another lady on the podcast. Let's welcome Betsy Carl.
Hello.
Hello, Betsy. How's it going?
Oh, it's fine. It's like rainy and 40 degrees in southern New Jersey tonight. It's gross out.
Well, we've had a lovely blizzard today, and it was not too bad temperature-wise, so the roads are a lovely coating of ice. But tonight, it's supposed to drop down into the minus 20s again, so yuck.
How do you dress for that?
Layers. Lots and lots of layers.
I just keep picturing the Michelin Man.
I look like that without my layers, but anyway.
Me too.
So, how long have you been shooting film, Betsy?
You know, it's really interesting. Like shooting film, probably just maybe 18 months.
Yeah.
I bought my Rolleiflex next month. It'll be 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I kind of shot a roll through it. And I sent it out to be developed. And Sherry, that was such a disaster.
Oh, it was why was it a disaster? Why?
Well, I used, I live kind of in the boonies, or is as boony as New Jersey is going to get. And a quote unquote lab had opened up two towns over from me.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I took my roll of film over there, and they were specializing in film. That was their thing.
Right.
They're no longer in business. But I had dropped my film off. I paid up front in cash. I paid for the film to be developed. I went because I didn't know what to do. So I paid for the film. I paid to get the negatives back. I paid to get scans, and I paid for prints. Right. And about 2 weeks later, I got some scans in an email, and I said, oh, thank you very much. When should I expect to receive, you know, my prints and my negatives?
Right.
And it took them like 3 months to get them to me. It was nothing but one excuse after the other. And finally, I got this box that was like priority mailed from two towns over, you know, but it was just one shoddy excuse after the next. And so that kind of, I was like, well, I really need to think about this because I think I spent like $25 for 12 pictures.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, this is not effective. So
no.
That kind of put me off. And then I travel a lot in my car for my job. I'm on the road a lot. And I discovered the wonderful world of podcasts. And I started listening. And I'm like, oh, well, maybe I should try this developing thing. And someone in my camera club also develops. And, like, she gave me a list of everything I would need. And I kind of took the plunge, and with that first roll that I shot and then I developed, and I actually had images, that kind of was like, okay, I got this. I can do this now.
Yeah. I can't believe that shop did that to you. 3 months?
Oh, it was ridiculous. And the thing is like they used to have like a Facebook page and, you know, we do this, we do that, we're wonderful, look, everyone loves us. And I'm thinking to myself, well, really, I'm not loving you.
No doubt. Wow.
And it, well, they're no longer around. You know, and it would have just been so much easier if they had said, do you want to just come pick them up? Or, you know, here, I'm dropping them in the mail. But I really, this is going to sound really rough. And it pains me to say this, but I'm 55. They were young enough to be maybe not quite my children, but significant. Like, I think, you know, they just didn't have that business ethic of, okay, we're in business now, we need to do this. They just didn't grasp that.
They didn't have the experience or the customer relations to deal with things properly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So in the long run, it was actually a good thing for me because it provoked me to learn how to do things on my own.
Yes. Yeah. That's kind of where I went. I was using a lab, but they were very good. But one of them got sick and they had to close their doors for a while, which left me, because there is no one else really close by. So kind of forced me into trying to do this myself. And once the first couple rules come out, I've got this. I can do this. It's not that hard.
And it's so much fun.
You know, the other day someone asked me, where do you even get film developed anymore? And I said, my kitchen sink.
That's my response. That's my response. It's kind of like, it's now become a joke. Betsy's kitchen sink.
Yeah. Although I have finally moved out of the kitchen sink into the basement bathroom. But
I envy you your dark room. It's beautiful.
It's, well, I kind of miss having everybody living here. But now that I have the house back to being an empty nest, it's being used for what it was intended for. You know.
My youngest leaves for college and he'll leave in August, and I'm dreading the empty nest thing.
Yeah, it's hard, but they're still here all the time. Like, I see them all the time anyway, so they haven't went far.
That's good.
Yeah. So tell us maybe a little bit about your latest projects that you have on the go.
Well, I'm trying to think. I am looking forward to spring sports to really give this beautiful F100 that I bought from this very nice woman up in Canada.
I have no idea who that might be.
A run for its money with shooting sports. I really think that is going to be what that camera is supposed to do for me. But as far as projects, I am participating in the Frugal Film Project, and I'm so excited about that. Like I had said in that little biography, it's really, I'm using the camera my dad gave me in the early 1980s. It's an older Nikkormat FTN, and I had kind of shot it, you know, I shot it when I was in college for a little while, and then I put it down. Life, you know, you get involved in other aspects of your life. And then when I circled back around to photography, maybe 10 or 12 years ago, digital was all the rage. So I bought a digital Nikon and progressed through that. So I'm looking forward to making friends with that camera. And really, what can it teach me? And I'm finding out it really, really wants to teach me a lot. So I'm enjoying that. And then for Christmas, because again, this very, very lovely woman in Canada had the brilliant idea of having a camera that, you know, represents your birth month and year. I had to play copycat, and my sweetie of a husband gave me a Nikon F that was made in December 1964. So I am just in love with that camera. It's, I don't know that it's capable of taking a bad picture.
They are an awesome camera. I love mine. However, it has been so dull and gloomy, I admit that I haven't been using it. And actually, I have been in a bit of a slump for about 6 weeks now. So I'm thinking it'll pass soon. I hope it passes soon. I'm ready for it too. It's just that it's so dull and gray and bleh out that, you know, it's just, ugh, come on now.
Well, and you know, we have not had any snow at all this year, which is fairly unusual for us, you know, because it usually will at least get some. Mm-hmm. And some winters we get a whole bunch of snow. So for me, I've been like, oh, I want some snow. I want to go see if I can shoot film in the snow. I want to. And yet, you know, you're surrounded by it. So you're like, what are we going to do now with it?
Well, it's not so much that it's the snow. It's I want to see the sun. I haven't seen the sun in weeks. And the days it does come out are the days that I can't shoot. It's because you're on the road or you're doing something or, you know what I mean. It's like,
absolutely.
So can you maybe tell us a little bit about shooting low ISO films?
Okay, that, you know, I love the low ISO films. They're still a challenge. Michael Bartosak last year threw out this thing of, he got a hold of this ultra low ISO Kodak 2238 film that's used in the movie industry to archive cinema film. It's black and white. And he's like, you know, maybe we'll do a zine. Maybe let's make a project. Who wants to participate? And, you know, I held up my hand saying, me. And he sent me a couple rolls of it. And it's amazing. Like the low ISO, it's amazing. You get beautiful contrasts. You can get really dark blacks, really bright whites. And each of the different low ISO films seems to bring something new to the party that makes it different from the other. And now they're kind of going crazy. Like he sent me color film that you shoot at an ISO of 0.9 and it's color film, but it's not normal color film. And it's this weird color shift and it's amazing, but you really, for me at least, so when I say you, I mean me, I really have to think about what am I doing with this film? Do I need a tripod for it? And I never like to carry a tripod. You know, I'm not really good at saying, let me plan this exciting photo shoot. I'm more of a, let me grab my camera and see what I can see. So from there, you know, I've discovered shooting Sunny 16, you know, if you're shooting at an ISO 12, you're shooting at a shutter speed of 1/12. That's really hard to handhold. So you got to, you got to open that up.
Crazy.
So that's been the biggest challenge is just not thinking in terms of film that end in zero.
So when you have to set it at, did you say 0.9?
Yes.
How do you even set your camera at that?
Well, what you do is some handheld meters will go pretty low. The app on my iPhone goes pretty low. And then you just kind of gotta extrapolate and open it up even more. So for example, for that 0.9, like if I was shooting and I picked, like I will try to, when I'm shooting something that low, I admit, I try to pick and choose the kind of day, like I would never use it on a gray, gloomy day.
Okay.
Unless I set it up on a tripod, because I just wouldn't be able to keep it steady.
Right.
I pick a bright sunny day and I'll use like a 50 1.4 lens, and I'll have it all the way, you know, I'll shoot wide open, and that'll get me, I think like, you know, a shutter speed of maybe 1/30th, 1/50th, and that you can handhold and you get really nice photos out of.
Right, right. You know, you were mentioning you are not one to sit down and actually plan your photo shoot. Neither am I. It's hunt for the photo.
Yes. And yes. I love the hunt.
I do too. You know, I think, Betsy, if you lived anywhere close to me, we would get into an awful lot of trouble.
But think of the fun we would have.
Oh, we would have a lot of fun. Okay.
You know, and that's the thing. The hard part is, and I don't know if you go through this, like with your spouse, like a lot of times if we're going somewhere like out of the ordinary, I'll throw a camera bag in the back seat of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred hates it because I'm like, stop. And sometimes I think he just ignores me because he doesn't feel like it. And I'm like, no, that's such a great picture. Spin this sucker around.
I'm not sure how many times we've been driving down the road. And if I happen to be driving and it's the country road, I'll just jam on the brakes and stop right in the middle of the road. I might even back up. Oh, there's my picture. And then you snap your couple shots and then on you go. And even I can remember one time driving down the highway with my husband, and I seen this, the train was going down the tracks, and it was in a very rural area, and there was an approach there, and we're in a car. I said, pull in that approach. Nobody has driven in there in a long time with this car. And I open the window, and I'm hanging out the window shooting this train as it goes by.
You're my kind of girl.
He says, you're insane. And the guy in the cab's tooting the horn at us.
Oh, it was cool. See, that
was
so fun. Cool.
It was fun. Now,
I have discovered, some of the things... I can get away with things because, like, if I accidentally bring home a new to me camera, because they're always accidents.
You had to save it.
Is I get away with it because I'll put a roll of, Fred likes to shoot color. I'll put a roll of color film in it, and I'll say, could you go and test this camera for me?
I remember the one day I handed the Rolleiflex to my husband and says, take my picture for a change. Like, I've got pictures of everyone else and there's none of me. And he picks it up and he goes, this is kind of heavy. How does it work? And he took the picture, but I don't think he enjoyed it. But, oh well, such is life.
The important thing is... they go along for the ride.
Yeah. Yeah. He's quite used to cameras everywhere. But
yeah, I think you have a much bigger collection than I do.
But mine are, nobody has given me a free Leica, Betsy. Now, come on.
I am so blessed beyond belief with that camera.
Yeah.
You know, it was such a generous and kind gift that this person gave me his father's Leica.
That's just amazing.
And it is just such a, like, I would never, there is no way I would ever have a Leica otherwise. And I know there are people that sit there and they say, you know, you're just caught up in the name Leica. You know, I don't need to drive it. Just like I don't need to, you know, I don't need a Leica. Just like I don't need to drive a Mercedes. Well, that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is it is a beautiful piece of camera and it takes gorgeous photos. And there's one of the things that attracts me to a lot of the, to most of the cameras that I own, because I do tend to like with film, I do tend to gravitate towards the older cameras, is that Leica was groundbreaking in so many respects.
Right.
And if you look at it that way, that you're holding a piece of history and how much that camera contributed to photography and to cameras, it's really a pretty cool thing. You know, just like the people who say, I would never drive a Mercedes. Well, I'll never have a Mercedes because I simply can't afford one. But I do know almost all of the safety features on cars today, you know, like the hardcore safety features were developed by Mercedes-Benz, and they basically give those patents to use to every other car manufacturer out there. So really, there's a whole lot to like about a Mercedes from a historical aspect. So I think, you know, for me, that Leica and the fact that it was David's father's Leica and that he's entrusted me with it, it's a joy to take pictures with.
Yeah. I like giving you a hard time about it. Is all
everybody does.
But you know, even like I mentioned, I have a Rolleiflex, and I bought it from a gentleman that had taken it. Was his dad's. His dad had purchased it brand new, and he had taken it and sent it off to Harry Fleener in California, and got it completely CLA'd. And then he put it up for sale, and he put it on eBay, but I'm not sure how he set it, because he would only accept your bid if he checked you out, because he wanted the camera to go to someone who would appreciate it and use it so it wouldn't be a shelf queen. And the crazy part of it is he was living in the city nearest to us, and he actually delivered it.
Wow.
And I got to actually meet him and talk to him, and it was amazing. And it wasn't free, mind you, but he had taken such good care of it, and I love that camera. I should use it more.
It's so funny because my Rolleiflex came from someone who checked me out before he offered it to me. Again, I paid for it, but he was on one of the Rolleiflex Facebook groups.
Right.
He did not want to eBay it. He did not want it to go to someone who would part it out, because it came with the full set of black and white filters, and it came with the two Roland R's. It came with the original case. Again, beautiful camera. But he had reached out to me and said, I hope you don't mind. I kind of stalked your photography Facebook page. I'm about an hour away in Pennsylvania. Would you be interested?
Right.
And You got to love the, and I still hear from him. A couple of times a year, I will get a private message on Facebook from him saying, "So where are my pictures that you've taken with my dad's camera? Let me see."
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So have you tried shooting a lot of sports with it yet?
I did. I am an idiot. I tried shooting Friday Night Football with it.
And?
I think it's meant for sideline pictures in that realm. And last spring, I did take it to a track meet. But I think I'm hoping my knowledge base has increased that I'm going to try it again this year, and I think I'll do a better job of it.
Right. So we're going to take a short commercial break here. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Susie, 8 years old this week. This is Susie's dad. His camera is 8 years old this week, too. Susie sure has changed a lot in 8 years, and so have cameras. Suppose Dad had a brand new Brownie Starmatic camera. He'd get the right exposure time after time automatically. This amazing camera measures the light with its electric eye light meter and automatically adjusts the lens. When you shoot in the shade, the lens opens to admit the correct amount of light. And in the sun, the lens closes down. You get the right exposure at all times automatically. Beautiful pictures in deep shade like this, or in bright sun like this, all automatically. So why not take your pictures the modern way? The Brownie Starmatic costs only $34.50 or as little as $3.50 down. Other Brownie cameras start at $5.95. They're as new as tomorrow, and mighty good reasons to insist on the name Kodak.
And we're back. So, Betsy, we touched on it a little bit in the previous segment about sports photography on film. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
It is, I love sports photography. I readily admit I do shoot most of it with a Nikon D500. The easiest way to explain it.
There's nothing wrong with that, though.
No,
there isn't.
It's just
the tool.
Exactly. And I'm really excited with the F100 to try sports photography outside. I did take, last spring I took my Leica to Penn Relays. And the photos, some of them, I did find out then that we have some shutter drag. So Doc Leica is going to have to go away for a spa visit. But
that's okay.
I got some beautiful photos that they look so vintagey. I loved it. So my plan is, I did try shooting some indoor track this winter with the F100, and indoor track venues tend to be not well lit. So even with a lens, at an F2.8, you were really struggling, like with a film like with P3200 or pushing HP5 to 3200. So I think being out in the daylight will serve me so much better.
Yes.
I did take the Rolleiflex and the F100 to some football games this year, Friday Night Lights, which were hilariously fun. Got some good images, enough to make me think I was on the right track. But I think this spring, I think it's going to be lovely black and white film out on the track and at baseball games. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, that'll be awesome. So, what was your favorite film of choice for sports? You mentioned the HP5 and the P3200. Was there any others that you tried?
Well, those were the ones I tried for indoor, as well as Friday Night Lights. And they didn't get... I think I was just pushing the film too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I think probably for outdoor use, I'm going to try like Tri-X 400.
Right.
And see what we get with that. Maybe even some T-Max, I think, will be lovely. It's interesting. When I went to the, I go to Penn Relays every year. And I shoot our high school 4x2 and 4x4 runners. And really, it's just 3 days in paradise for me. but like this year, my son is usually there with the track team. This year he had said to me, "Can I have a camera?" I said, "Sure. What, you know, do you want digital? What do you want?" He's like, "Can I have the Leica?" And I said, "No, you can't." So he's like, "How about this? How about that little one you bought?" And I said, "Oh, the Raleigh 35. Yeah, that one." So I threw in a roll of, I think, Tri-X 400. And I kind of gave him a quick 30-second, like, this is the light meter and this is how it works. He took some amazing images. He just, but he has always had a great eye. So I think the Tri-X will be a winner for sports all the way around, because I think it's a fast film, and with a camera like the Nikon F100, I can really push that shutter speed. So I'm looking forward to trying it.
right. Like, you know, go ahead.
In film, when you're shooting sports, there's no such thing as a shutter speed of like 250. You want to go really fast, or you want to shoot something really slow so you're getting deliberate motion blur.
Right.
If you shoot around that 250 mark, you're getting blur, but it's not a pretty blur, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean, yeah.
It looks more like you just couldn't be bothered focusing versus, you know, deliberately trying to enhance motion.
Right. Have you tried panning?
Yes, and it is, sometimes I nail it and I'm delighted with myself, and other times I think, huh, now that was a waste of effort and film.
I never could catch on to that. Even I practiced with digital, still couldn't get it. So I
suck
at it.
It's really hard.
It is.
It is really, really hard. And the best advice someone gave me was, go sit on a bench on a busy street and just pan the cars. So I actually did that one afternoon, and I think people probably were like, who's that fat blonde lady with a camera pointing them at cars?
Is she insane?
Exactly.
That's kind of funny. So you mentioned your son wanted a film camera. I also heard that your daughter wanted one.
And they both got them for Christmas.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
And my daughter was home this weekend for the weekend. She lives about 450 miles away in western Pennsylvania. And she came home this weekend, and the first thing she did was hand me a Ziploc baggie with 5 or 6 rolls of film in it and said, "Look, I brought you a present. Can you develop this?"
Aw, that's awesome. That's
neither
so
of
awesome.
Them have any interest really in developing. They both like how film looks.
Right.
They're like everything. Whenever someone, you know, digital is always, it's nice, it's fun, it's great for some things, but it's always, you know, being perfect. And film, you kind of get to embrace the not perfect.
That's true. Very true.
So they, and my son, I had bought my daughter from another film person. I bought an Olympus Trip 35 for her.
And the older ones?
Pardon?
One of the older ones with the selenium meter? Yeah.
And the meter still works. It had already been reskinned in a lovely orangey red.
Oh, nice.
And I bought Nate an Olympus RC35 that is a user camera. It's working so far, you know, so far so good. I gave it a good cleaning on the outside, and I'm not quite good at tinkering with the guts yet of a camera. Don't know that I want to go down that road, but my son's favorite color is hot pink.
Okay.
He's, you know, this 6'1", 250 moose of a guy.
Right.
Big boy. So no one's going to mess with him that he says his favorite color is hot pink. So I reskinned it in hot pink for him. And it came out.
And you know what? None of his friends will want to use it. So he's set.
Actually, all of them love it.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. They're all like, this is the coolest thing going.
Oh, that's awesome. So maybe you'll have a few more converts to film.
Absolutely. What with me with sports is I do a lot of the high school he goes to. I volunteer and take a lot of sports photos for the kids, for his friends. And it was very, very cute. Like in the fall on my photography page, I had put up, it's a very iconic photo of Muhammad Ali standing over a knocked out Sonny Liston that Neil Leifer had taken with a Rolleiflex.
Right.
And I put the picture up and I had said that, you know, I have the same kind of camera that this was taken with. How cool is that? So a couple of the soccer players all sent me text saying, you know, we think soccer would look beautiful with that old camera of yours.
Aw.
So I did go to a soccer game and I took pictures with the Rolleiflex for them and they came out well. I got a beautiful portrait of one of the athletes and some nice action shots of goals being attempted. So all was well, but I'm no Neil Leifer.
You'll get there. So they were right. They said it would look great on film, and they were right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, they all know how to play me.
Well, of course. So I guess we should get to these questions. There were a few questions from the Frugal Film Group for you. Are you ready for them?
Sure.
Sure. Okay, so Monette Cruz asks, what is your favorite camera and your favorite color film and your favorite black and white film?
I am going to say at this moment in time, I reserve the right to change in the future.
Of course.
I really love the Nikon F that my husband gave me for Christmas. It has such a satisfying chunk when you click the shutter.
Yeah.
I love everything about it. I love the photos it is taking for me. So right now I would say that's my favorite camera. As far as film. Color film is hard for me because I tend to gravitate more towards black and white. But I think for color, for my 35 millimeter cameras, I really like Kodak Ektar. And for my Rolleiflexes, I love Kodak Portra 400. It's like that's a match made in heaven. Rolleiflex plus Portra 400.
Okay.
And black and white, I took part in the Emulsive Secret Santa this year, mm-hmm. and my Secret Santa gifted me with some rolls of heavily expired film, which I was a little leery about, but I shot one of the rolls of film recently, and it was Kodak Panatomic. It expired in 1982. They don't make it anymore, which kills me. It's an ISO of 32, and it's just a lovely black and white film. I mean, that and the Nikon F did all the right things together.
Go ahead.
I'm going to have to figure out a way of hunting or begging more. But if I were to go with current film, I love Tri-X. And as far as a lower ISO, I love the Kodak 2238. But I also really like the Raleigh 80, or the Raleigh Retro 80. That's a very, very nice film.
Right. And that, is that 35 or is it 120?
That's 35. It's probably both. I shot it. We visited a university in North Carolina in December, and I shot a roll of it down there. And I was like, wow, this is really nice film.
I've never tried any of it.
I would recommend that. If you'd like some 2238, I'll send you some rolls. Because once I decided I liked it, I think I bought something like 25 rolls off of Barzak.
But I actually got some of it from him, too. I'm just going to wait until summer to shoot it.
Yeah, you want nice. And even though, the range they're saying is from 6 to 25, 12 or 16 seemed to be really sweet spots with that film.
And I think he threw in some of that 0.9 color stuff, too. And I'm going,
No, you're going to love it because it gives you these crazy blues and pinks. It's really cool.
Yeah. I'll have to go back and look into the bag when, of course, it's nicer out. And we actually have green out there because, right now everything's white.
When does spring come for you?
The leaves will come out mid-May, so June, everything's back. Yeah.
Okay.
We get June, July, and August, and that's it.
Oh.
Then we're back to the browns.
That's rough.
That's a short season.
How can you possibly farm that?
Oh, we plant in May.
Okay.
But the leaves aren't out on the trees yet. We plant in May, and then we harvest in September, October.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's why I always sitting there going, we got to get this done. We got to get this done. There's only so many days.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But anyway, so let's move along to Marius's questions. He asks, which camera gets the most love and which isn't getting any?
Right now, the Nikon F and then the Nikkormat are getting the most love because the Nikkormat is Frugal Film Project.
Mm-hmm.
And the Nikon F because it's new to me. What's getting the least amount of love? My twin lung reflexes, my Rolaflex collection, needs to be used more. But I have a couple of 35 millimeter cameras that my cousin gave me that I just put them in the cabinet. I've never even looked at them. I think one is a brand called Decora.
Okay.
I know nothing about it. And the other is a Yashica Electro 35.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave them to me a year ago, and I've just never taken them, either one of them, out to even really look at them. So those would be the two.
I've heard those Electro 35s, if they're working, are an amazing camera.
I don't know if this one's working.
Yeah. They're fixable.
I'm going to have to figure that out.
Yeah. They're fixable. If they've got, the pad of death.
I don't even know what that means. Do you know what that means?
Oh, it's some, I can't remember exactly. There's some circuit in there that needs repairing or something. It's something electronic, and it's a simple repair that can be done. So lots of them are brought back.
I will have to look into this.
Yeah. So Marius also asks, what are your favorite locations and what do you do when you're in a rut?
Well, my very favorite place to be for photography are the pen relays. But that's only happens 3 days in mid-April. And I will go on the record and say I am really looking forward to this year because it's an Olympic year. And I think the high schools and colleges are Friday and Saturday and somewhat, or Thursday and Friday and somewhat on Saturday. But Saturday afternoon is when we call it the track gets hot. It's when all of the pro and the Olympic level running teams are there.
Right.
And since it's before Olympic trial time, I think it's just going to be crazy. So looking forward to that. But beyond that, I live in the Pinelands, which is, if you looked at a map of New Jersey, believe it or not, we're not all factories. You know, 2/3 of the state is actually agricultural, and open, you know, unfortunately we're losing our open space, but I live off of 100,000 acre state forest. So I would say my happy spot is hunting down things in the pines to go take pictures of. This probably sounds really weird and nerdy, but I am always intrigued by how the light is hitting the forest and the pines, and I never seem to be able to capture it. So I kind of have like this endless chase going on in my mind about that.
There's nothing nerdy about it at all. That's awesome. No, I wish I had a forest instead of furry.
Could you repeat that, Sherry? You broke up there.
Oh, sorry. I said I kind of wish I had a forest instead of all prairies.
I would love that opportunity to shoot that wide open space. Like, I admire your work so much. I look at it and I'm like, oh, it's so gorgeous. I would love to go there.
Hey, you're welcome anytime.
Thank you.
So what do you do when you get into a rut?
Sometimes I just wait it out. I'm the kid that likes to try everything. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it just means backing away from the cameras and letting everyone take a break from each other. And other times it's trying something new. And that's one of the other reasons why I like the concept of frugal film, is because it is pushing me to try new things with a camera that I hadn't yet really played with. Like last month I have one of those little loom cubes, it's like a little LED. It's like a 1x1 cubey mm-hmm. thing. And I set it up on my kitchen island. You know, I had it hanging from the light over the island. I had it on a little tiny tripod Fred had picked up for me just for the loom cube. And I was, you know, taking pictures of balls of yarn and knitted hats and, you know, things that I probably would not have done if I wasn't participating in the project. So I did that and was having a great time. And it helped get me through some of the, you know, a week of the winter doldrums, because, you know, when it's icky and gross out and you can't go outside and play, it's rough.
Tell me about it.
I can't even imagine.
So, also, Marius had one more question. Where is your motivation and inspiration?
My motivation is with the sports photography, my children. That was my motivation initially. And it's, I like to experiment, and that's what film photography lets me do, I think, more than digital. I'm not a huge fan of let's Photoshop everything to the 100th and 20th degree. I like playing with chemistry. And my inspiration, again, comes from my family. I'm really fortunate that they're all wildly tolerant of me. And that, you know, I'm very fortunate. I have a spouse who, like, he is, when we go tromping through the woods, he's very willing to carry camera gear for me. I'm lucky.
You are. Wow.
Well, you know, it's a way of spending time together.
It is.
And, you know, from a sports photography, which really flips back, you know, not just photography in general, but even film photography, are photographers like Neil Leifer and Mike Black, who, you know, who were just ground setting in terms of what they accomplished with sports photography. You know, as a kid, I always loved looking at the pictures in Sports Illustrated, and I still do.
Well, there you go. That's awesome. So Sam Warner has a question, and he wonders, do you think you will ever try large format?
I would love to have a press camera. This is my nerdiness coming out. I love photojournalism. And one of the coolest things about that Nikon F is how much history was recorded with that camera. You know, from the 60s through the 70s with it. And, you know, the same thing, forgive me for saying this, but with the Leica and with the Rolleiflex, I really feel a speed graphic will need to appear in my house for me to feel complete.
So you still have a little bit more gas.
Yes, I do think that will be a piece of gas that gets put on the back burner until I'm closer to retirement. Because I do think large format, in my mind right now, I've had zero exposure to it, so I think it's very intimidating to me. Mm-hmm. So I want to wait until I can say, yes, I truly do have the time to learn more about this particular artist tool.
Okay.
But I really do want one. Like, I feel like if I'm going to have a stable of cameras that have taken that, you know, their brothers and sisters have taken Pulitzer Prize winning photos, I need that camera.
Yeah. So, okay. I don't know a whole lot about large format, but aren't there different sizes of speed graphics?
Yes. And yes. I don't know enough about them to speak intelligently. Yeah, I know there's ones that take like 4x5 and there's ones that take like 8x10. I would probably want one that goes 4x5.
Right. Yeah. That's about all I know is that there were different sizes of them. Yeah. So, anything else you want to chat about?
I don't know. What do you want to chat about? What are we, like, can't thank you enough for that Nikon F100.
I'm glad it went to you because I know it went to a good home, and I actually really loved that camera.
It takes such beautiful photos.
It does.
It really lets me, I've been reading about Ansel Adams and the whole zone system. Mm-hmm. And that's the camera that I, when I'm like, okay, I'm going to play zone system today. That's the camera I grab with film.
Oh, okay.
You know, because that's the one I'm like, okay, I think I stand the best shot of being able to achieve something with this one right now.
Right.
And I really love it. I need to tell you, I don't know if I've ever told you this. When I bought the camera from you, I had just bought a new laptop computer to run Lightroom, and I have the Adobe subscription for
right.
it. And my old computer, Fred will tell you, he spent like $300 on it 4 years ago. He really bought it just to see if I was actually going to really use Lightroom and do things with it. And even when I got it for Christmas at the time, he had said, I know you're going to outgrow it, but this will give you a start. And we had limped it along and added memory and done what we could. And it just got to the point where we were crashing on a regular basis. And when I went for my new computer, I spent a lot of money.
Right.
You know. On a Dell XP and, you know, had it all outfitted, you know, so it'd be the perfect, you know, camera computer kind of thing. Well, I had ordered that. And then I had gone to visit my daughter for a few days. And as I was at her apartment, my husband sends me a photograph of a washing machine at Lowe's. And I said, why are you at Lowe's and why are you sending me pictures of washing machines? And he's like, oh, because our washing machine died.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, well, fix it because you know how to fix everything. He's like, the computer board went. It's $450. A new one is $650. This is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, we might as well get a matching dryer because the dryer's, you know, 25 years old. So I had just spent a ton of money on a computer. Then we bought a new washing machine and dryer, which was not cheap.
No.
And as we were sitting out by the fire pit, I was like, you know, my friend Sherry, she's a film photographer. She's up in Canada. She's thinking about selling her Nikon F100. I think she's going to sell it for about this much. You know, like, it would be a great camera for sports and, you know, Fred, like, it's in the grand scheme of things, it's not a lot of money. And Fred, bless his soul, said to me, when's the delivery date? And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, I know you're getting me, trying to get me to say, oh, tell Sherry to buy it. He goes, but we both know. You've already said you've bought it.
Well, I was surprised, you know, when I put it up there and said, I'm thinking of selling this and replacing it with an F6, which was my dream camera. And you said right away, I'll take it. And I went, I guess I better buy the F6 then. But I have to tell you something now. I bought that F6 way back last fall. I have not had any gas since. None.
Well, then that means it's the right camera for you.
Yeah. And I've only shot it 4 or 5 rolls through it now, but I really do love it, so.
Oh, that's, well, the pictures you've posted, they're beautiful. Well, you're just, forgive me, we could give you, you know, a throwaway camera, and you're just a talented photographer, but that camera looks amazing.
Well, it's like I was chatting to someone else the other day, and I showed them the picture I took for January's Frugal Film Project, and well, you'll see it when it comes out, but they said, and you took it with an F75 and the kit lens, and I said, yes.
And it's
F75, I totally, you know, those really crappy $25 Nikon F75s.
Not really.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they come with, oh, I forget exactly what the dimensions on the kit lens were, but I think it's something like 28 to 100 or something like that. And it's a variable f-stop on it. And I thought, this is how it came. This is how I'm shooting it, and let's see how it'll do. Like, it has virtually no options. You can't even set the ISO. It's DX only.
Wow. I'm looking forward to seeing the picture.
So, yeah, it was kind of interesting because I fiddled around with it and did a little experimenting because I wanted to shoot the HP5 at a different ISO. And, of course, it's DX only. So there is a workaround. And I didn't know if it would work. It did work, fortunately. But, yeah, it's crazy. Funny how it isn't always about the gear.
No, you know, it really is not. It really, and that's, you know, I recently bought a Kodak Retina 2A from someone locally. Mm-hmm. And it is the first camera, Sherry, that I bought that I got it home and no go.
Oh,
no. Everything else, I have been incredibly fortunate that it all works. So for me to get it to work, I'm going to have to send it out. But like I said, my husband's like, well, when are we sending it out? Let's get some film through this. And I said, the problem is, in all honesty, I have an order of go with my cameras. I'm like, you giving me the Nikon F, I really, like, as I said, I really do want a speed graphic, but I want it from the historic, like, not just to shoot it, but because I love photojournalism, you know, like, it needs to show up at some point in the future, not in the next month, in the next 10 years.
Right.
So I really don't feel like I have gas because I've got some amazing cameras in the house, but they're all of an age that it's time, like my, like Doc Leica needs to get sent to be CLA'd. Mm-hmm. And after that, I really do need to rotate. Like, and the one thing I'm thinking of is, for example, I have, you know, I have my Rolaflex and I have the baby Rolaflex.
Right.
And I have a Rolacord. And I'm trying to, and I never thought I would say this, but I'm trying to think, do I want to sell that Rolacord?
If you're not shooting it and you don't want it, like if you're not showing it any love.
And that's the thing, is it takes really nice pictures. And I was kind of hoping that, you know, my spouse or one of the kids would get really intrigued enough with it to say, I want a twin lens reflex camera. And I could say, here it is.
Right.
But that's not happening. So I'm actually thinking about turning that one loose.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought I would say that. And I worry that if I do turn it loose, will I regret it in the future?
I don't know.
You know, like,
on the
few... have you ever sold cameras that afterwards you're like, oh, that was not the smartest move I've made?
Only one. And I knew I wasn't going to shoot it, and I regret selling it, but I sold it, also sold it to a friend for exactly what I paid for it, plus shipping. So, but it went to a friend who was going to love it, so I didn't feel quite so bad, but I do regret selling it. But on the other hand, it sat here for a whole year, and I never touched it.
Gotcha.
So what's the point of that?
And I agree with that, because letting them be shelf queens is not good for them.
No. No. So, yeah, and I brought a couple more like that that really should probably go, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got some that are probably not worth much, so they'll probably stay. But I call them the... truck dash cameras, because you throw a roll of film in them, you jump in the Junker Farm truck, you throw the camera on the dash, and you go.
And that is a great thing to have.
And if it breaks, you don't really care.
Exactly.
But yeah, so anyway, so I think I've covered all the questions. Is there anything else that you wanted to get out there?
I don't think so, except if you ever decide you want to come to the Jersey Pinelands and go devil hunting with me, please come.
Okay. You never know. I might make it out there someday, and then you might regret that.
No, well, think about it. You and your spouse, you guys could go to Atlantic City.
My spouse does not travel.
Ah.
He goes, so you go ahead.
Well,
yeah.
The nice thing is he doesn't hold you back.
No, he doesn't. You go ahead.
He goes, that's a good thing.
He goes,
I
don't.
So come visit.
Yeah. Anyway, so Betsy, let us get your socials out there so people can check you out.
I have a photography Facebook page, Betsy Carl Photography. That's really original. And then I'm on Instagram, and my son created the account. So it is the.bkp.
Perfect. Perfect. And what? Go
Thank
ahead.
Thank you again for having me on.
Thanks for coming on, Betsy. It was a blast.
Let's go shoot.
Yeah. And on that note, I am going to say bye for now. Hey, I hope you've enjoyed the show. And I'd really love to hear from you. Now, there's a few ways you can get in touch. You can use the Anchor app to do a 1-minute call into the show. You can record a voice memo on any smartphone and email that into the show, and I'll play them on air. Or you can just send me an email. at embracethegrainpodcast@gmail.com, or you can send me a direct message over on Instagram. You can find me at embrace_the_grain. I'd really love to hear from you. And until next week, take care and don't be negative.